Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is the general himself, Mr. John McLean. John, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thank you for having me, as always.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you on once again. And well, let's start off, obviously, by getting the obvious talking point out the way. We heard about Dante Foreman, the running back, has been waived by the Texans, subsequently picked up by the Colts. Were you aware of any issues surrounding Foreman, and did you see this coming?
Oh, yeah. We all knew about the issues that he had. He's had him his first two seasons. Deontay didn't like playing special teams. He was late to meetings. He wasn't in condition last year. And all that was well documented. And then he, at the end of the season, on his exit interview, Bill O'Brien read him the riot act and told him it was make or break for him. And the reason we knew that is because Foreman told us that he had had a stern meeting with O'Brien. So he got really serious about getting in good shape. He posted videos on Instagram. He came back. He was in good shape. They got fired up about it. And then once they got to camp, he started reverting back to being last. I watched every day him come out to practice. He was always one of the last couple of guys. And I think I said on my talk show here, I'd like to see him be first or second one time, just to show people how enthusiastic he was. And I found out he started being late again. And so O'Brien talks about being a good teammate. And one of the things about being a good teammate is if everybody else is on time and everybody else is doing what they're supposed to do, then you should too. And he didn't. So instead of waiting around, see if all of a sudden he grew up, they decided to cut ties, and that was good for him because it gave him more time to get a job. Colts took him. Hopefully this is a wake-up call for him, and he'll grow up, and he won't do the same things that he was doing here. And Deontay was a good guy, wasn't in trouble. He was very immature, and he had to grow up. And as Bill O'Brien 8 days ago, I asked O'Brien about, I said, can you talk about the backup running backs buying the first two? And he goes, who are the first two? I said, Miller and Foreman. He hesitates and he goes, Miller. Everything else is open. And then every time we ask him about the backup running back situation, he emphasized special teams and he would mention every back, but he left Foreman out. And so it was obvious Deontay didn't want to play special teams, and that's not good because when you're a backup other than a quarterback and some linemen, you got to play special teams. So they made the move, and he's with the Colts now. Hopefully he'll make the team, stay on the team. We'll get to see if he grows up in Indianapolis.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, do you see, obviously this could, as you mentioned, serve as a very good wake-up call for him, but do you think ultimately come week one he will still be on that roster, or do you see him possibly moving elsewhere again before the season starts?
I believe this, Anthony. I think that at first he'll go in there and do everything he's supposed to do, and he'll make their roster. But then if he reverts back to the same stuff, he's not going to be around long. And because you can't have one set of rules for one guy and a set of rules for everybody else, unless that guy's a great player, and Foreman was not. And hopefully he'll make the Colts and stick there and be a backup to Marlon Mack and have a productive career.
Absolutely. So obviously sticking with the Texans, then they now have obviously a big hole at running back. The question I've got is, do you think they made a mistake not looking at this beforehand and potentially drafting a back this offseason?
Well, everybody's blasting them because they didn't, but the fact is they didn't have any reason to, because if you drafted a back or signed a free agent and Foreman did what he was supposed to do, then that guy's not going to play. And Foreman had given him every indication that he was all the way back physically. He'd gotten with the program mentally. And so that's why they didn't draft anybody. And he came in to 3 weeks before the draft, and they liked what they saw. That's probably what he's going to do with the Colts. He'll go in there, and they'll go, wow, why did this guy get cut by the Texans? He's a hard worker. And I still can't believe they'll ever get him to play special teams. But so that's why they didn't address it. Had they addressed it, yeah, if you could look into a crystal ball and you knew what was going to happen with him, sure, you would have addressed it. But he gave every indication that he was, that he had grown up and he was 100% in good physical condition, which he was, but the mental part hadn't caught up with the physical.
It's certainly a shame after one or two performances, particularly his rookie year. It's a shame that it hasn't quite worked out, but fingers crossed it works out for him elsewhere. So moving on to the Texans, obviously they've gone up to Green Bay. I mean, how did the start off with the cycling, how did that go this morning to the training? Were there any particular highlights for you?
Oh, I didn't even go over there because I used to come up here a lot covering the Packers when I was covering the NFL for 8 years. And the way it's set up, Anthony, is you have Lambeau Field and you have the parking lot. And then you go across South Oneida Street. And then you have Clark Hinkle Field. And then you have the Don Hudson Center, the indoor facility. And then on the other side of Don Hudson Center, you have the Ray Nitschke Field. And that's got some bleachers around it, and that's where the Packers practice. And fans line up hours to get in. I had to be on radio at 8:30. I got here at 8. Fans were lined up. They were hot. They were fanning themselves. They had umbrellas for the sun, and it was 75 degrees. And they told me it was going to be a heat wave. It was going to get all the way up to 85. And I thought, oh, my God, why didn't I bring my umbrella and my fan? And so the Texans come out of Lambeau on one end, and they had their gauntlet of fans. And they actually had a bigger line than the Packers because fans can come over for the Packers anytime. And J.J. Watt, who's almost as big up here as he is in Houston, came out. He grabbed the first bike he saw, a little boy wearing a Rodgers jersey. He got it, handed him his helmet, and he started riding it. And then he broke it, couldn't fix the seat. So he threw the bike up over his shoulder and walked the rest of the way with the kid and told the family, I'll buy him a new one. Max Sharping, the Green Bay native, was the first out of the dressing room, and he got a little girl's bike and rode in. But it is fun watching those players. Some great pictures by our photographer, Brett Coomer, that I tweeted. A lot of people took great pictures and videos of it. And then the Texans went on Clark Hinkle Field from 10 to 10:40, 10:45. They went over to the Ray Nitschke Field, and they practiced against the Packers for an hour and a half.
Yes, and from what I can tell, at least, there were no major hitches today. We haven't heard of any major injuries or anything like that, which is obviously good news. No fights or arguments breaking out. One thing I did...
Well, there was one time when their rookie corner, Lonnie Johnson Jr., made a really hard hit on rookie tight end Jay Sternberger from A&M. And then he kind of posed, and that infuriated the Packers, and they all went after him. And O'Brien, and he does when you fight, kicked him out of practice. He kicked DeAndre Hopkins out of a practice, joint practice, in the first 5 minutes because of getting in a fight. We told Hopkins, you did that on purpose just because you didn't want to be out here in the heat. And so it's good that Johnson gets that kind of discipline now, because O'Brien believes if you don't have the discipline to avoid a fight in practice, then how in the world are you going to have discipline during a game? So that's an early lesson for him. And everything else was uneventful. Texans got a lot of good work in. Players talked about it afterwards. Some of the highlights for me was watching Kahale Waring have a really good practice. Waring caught a touchdown pass and double coverage from A.J. McCarron. One of the things I like about him, when the ball isn't going to the other side of the field, he still runs his route, runs it through a whistle, blows. He doesn't take off. Jordan Aiken, still, to me, a star of training camp. Multiple good catches in a one-on-one drill. Titus Howard just ragdolled an outside linebacker, threw him to the ground twice. Whitney Merciless putting spin moves on David Bakhtiari, their top tackle. And so there were a lot of things to like about this practice. Offensive line, O'Brien said the first team was okay. The other group's got a long way to go. And But the key of these things, of course, is nobody getting major injury, and nobody did.
Absolutely. You mentioned, obviously, the Titus Howard block. And I mean, what have you seen from him and Max Sharping over the last, particularly today, obviously, but just in general over training camp?
When they drafted those guys, they knew they were going to play them some at guard to see how they progressed. And they didn't know that Matt Khalil would have progressed enough from his recovering from knee surgery last year to be able to step in and go through every practice. They like what they've seen of Khalil so far, but he's got to play in games. And so for that reason, they can move Titus Howard to left guard. He still works at left tackle, primary left guard. Sharping was working at right tackle and right guard. Now he's primarily a right guard. And I believe that Howard will start the first game, and I think that Max Sharping will be starting sometime this year. They're two different players. Howard's more athletic, and Sharping is more kind of got the defensive player's mentality. He's a mauler. He said he always likes to think when he goes out, he's the toughest player on the field.
And that, I have to admit, that reminds me of a certain Brian Cushing, I must admit. And from the press conference I saw today, Max Sharping, he seemed very focused. He seemed very on point. It was just answer the question, get going. Did you notice that as well? Have you noticed that from him in general?
The coaches love the guy. The coaches love him. He's really smart. He works hard. He retains everything. You know, he's 6'6", 326, and he started at both tackles in college. Said he hadn't played guard since his redshirt freshman year, but he's worked so hard at it, the coaches like him a lot. And he's a good talker. And I know when I've interviewed him, he doesn't elaborate. He gives his answer, waits to see if there's another question. Some guys, you know, put a lot of commas and conjunctions and but or and keep talking until they have to take a breath. And that's not his style. And, of course, I think that he'll be the first Green Bay native to play in the NFL in more than 50 years.
Well, that's fantastic news. I mean, let's be honest. He seems like a fantastic individual, and I'm really hoping the Texans get plenty of good years out of him because they need it. But speaking of that Texans offense, one of the questions I've got then for you is obviously with Foreman out, what have you seen from the backup backs, especially now that some of them are going to get some more meaningful reps?
And they are going to get meaningful reps, and they're going to get them in practice tomorrow as they did today, and they'll play. I doubt Lamar Miller is going to play Thursday night. And so we'll see the other four. Josh Ferguson has the most experience. This is his third year. They signed him off the street last year. He played special teams, third-team running back. When he came out of Illinois, he was a really good receiver, and he ran a 4.48. I wrote on TexasSportsNation.com today about him turning a corner and just turning on the speed and going down the sideline for a touchdown. Buddy Howell, who made the team last year after he was claimed on waivers from Miami, Buddy's a great special teams player, but they didn't give him a chance at running back last year, even when Lamar Miller was down for 2.5 games. I think Texans fans' biggest fear is that Alfred Blue will get cut by Jacksonville and end up back in Houston, backing up Lamar Miller, Mr. 3.5, his nickname was, because that's what he always got when he ran the ball. So the two rookies, and that would be Demary Crockett and Kryon Igbe Jr., they run hard. They run low to the ground. They get pads. They know how to keep their pad level. Both of them work hard as a blocker. They were lost in the off-season program. Higdon had some kind of injury, but every day I look up, including today, and Crockett and Higdon, they're making plays, and they're bouncing off people. I can't wait to see Ferguson, Crockett, and Higdon Thursday night. And we're going to get to see them a lot in preseason. But I'll guarantee you the backup's on another team. And Rob Kissel, the pro personnel director, he's got 10 to 20 deep at every position. So if a guy comes available, he'll talk to Matt Bazergan about it, the director of player personnel. Then they'll go to O'Brien, and O'Brien will ask him what they think, and he'll ask the running backs coach what he thinks, and then they'll decide if they want to go after this person or not. And so I do think that guy's on another team, and I think at some point they're going to be looking, it's just my opinion, for another slot cornerback, because I don't know if Aaron Coleman's going to be able to cut it, even though he's doing everything he can do.
So, I mean, what have you seen from Colvin then so far that makes you worry about his progress?
When a guy tries hard, and he's been here plenty of time, and he still just looks out of place, he just doesn't look like a guy that they're going to have confidence in can cover inside receivers. Now, I may be wrong. Anthony, he may get in games, and all of a sudden he starts making plays like crazy and be here for 5 years, but right now I think they need to find another one. Or if Lonnie Johnson Jr. could play well enough to stay on the field, and he's big and he's fast and he's physical, he gets in the receivers' faces on the line of scrimmage and he hits them, including DeAndre Hopkins, if he could play well enough to start, they could have Bradley Roby slide inside to be the slot corner. And that might be, the idea is get your three best on the field, but you just can't take an outside guy and move him inside if he doesn't have the skill set required of inside, which is quickness, being able to go right or left or back, and stay with a guy over the middle of the field. And they think Roby can do that, but that would require somebody else stepping up to start. Only candidate is Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Absolutely, and that cornerback core is definitely something we're going to have to keep a very close eye out on, especially this Thursday, the first preseason game, obviously, against the Packers. We're very excited to watch that. So just to round off then, obviously, you're up in Wisconsin for the week. What are you most excited about with regards to, other than football, about being up in Wisconsin? I've heard that the weather is obviously fantastic, as you mentioned. I know JJ Watt earlier on was raving about the food and these cheese curds that I've honestly never heard of. I don't think they ever made it to Europe. But what are you most looking forward to about spending your time up there?
Spotted Cow beer, which is really good. It's a local brand, not very strong, light. In fact, just had a good one tonight. And the people, and then the little cooler weather. And then when you're in Lambeau Field, I tell everybody, it's the cathedral. If you're a football fan, you're going anywhere in the NFL, go to Lambeau Field in Canton, Ohio, to the Hall of Fame. And because they're both a little slice of heaven, and I've been coming up here since 1980, and I never get tired of coming.
Absolutely. That sounds absolutely fantastic. Sir, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, as always. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
Anthony, they can find me on Twitter, McLean, McClain, _on_NFL. I need all the followers I can get. I appreciate you having me, as always, and let's do it again.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, as always. I've been your host for the week, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And, of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening.